So good morning. Let's open God's Word up to the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're going to continue our look at 1 Corinthians. Give you a moment to get your notes out, bulletin open. Certainly been thinking about Memorial Weekend and everything going on and what's been prayed. And Craig, what you made mention of, it always makes me think of John's Gospel in the, I think it's the 15th chapter, verse 13, greater love that no one has than this, that he give his life for a friend, that he laid down his life for a friend. I always think of, those that went before us and to give their life for a nation's freedom, for us to be able to worship the Lord, to have our freedom to honor God and honor Christ as we would see fit. What an incredible encouragement that is to our lives each day. So are we there in God's Word, chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians? We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 12 this morning. We're going to be discussing this topic that we're going to be in is going to be about vision. I want you to talk about that with you a little bit. We're talking about looking ahead, planning ahead, having forward thinking in a sense, having a vision for the Lord's work. That's what Paul's talking about here. That's what he's illustrating with his life. So we're going to be looking at that, seeing how God may involve you in his work, looking forward into that, where you might do the Lord's work. It might say it this way, anticipating opportunity to be involved in the Lord's work, looking ahead to when and where, how, vision. That's what we're going to talk about. You know, we have this in our life all the time. You would agree with this. You look ahead all the time. You have vision for the future of your life all the time. How many of you, help me here, how many of you have a vision for your garden this year? You have a vision, right? You want some tomatoes, and you want some things, and you don't want the bugs to eat them all up, and you don't want the rot to happen. And my wife, Krista, has a five-year vision. Okay, on what she wants the garden to look like. And that's okay, because it's wonderful. And Bill laughs because she's including him in that vision. You know, that's wonderful. You have a vision for your home, do you not? Do you have not a vision for your home to fix it, to complete it, to change it, to way your yard's going to look? You have a vision for the future for it. How about your relationships? You have a vision for that. You have a focus, looking forward. How would your marriage relationship, with your spouse, how that's going to be and how that's going to grow. How about your children? Are you looking forward, vision, what that's going to be, they're going to become, what they're going to do? You're thinking about that? That's what we're talking about in Sunday school class, by the way, today. Talking about that in Sunday school with the goal for them to love God, to honor God in his word and all their decisions, to have a strong faith and active in the church. We have a vision, and that's going to involve us in our lives and for them to see that and to meet that and that goal to happen in their life. How about a vision for yourself? Any of you have a vision, a goal for yourself? We're like this all the time. This is how we function. We think about this. What you want to be, or your vision for your career. Anybody have a vision for where that would go? Or how about your retirement? You have a vision for that. Or how about your job skill? Or how about athletic skill or vision for your business? See, this is what we're talking about today and what Paul's emphasizing. And we all understand, we all acknowledge that our involvement in all of these things, it's going to take a lot of involvement for us to in our vision or our goal for our garden or our home or our relationships, our children, our marriage, ourself, our job, our career, our retirement, our business. We're thinking ahead. We're forethinking. We're looking down the road. We're thinking this way. This is what Paul is talking about in the text, what it takes from us to get there. That's what we're going to talk about today, having vision for the Lord's work. I forgot to write who I'm quoting, but it was one of the authors. I was reading the commentary. I can't even say it might have been this one. I don't even remember who it was because I read many. But he wrote it this way. The Lord's worker must have a vision for the future. The Christian who loves God and knows God's purpose in their life will see needs that are not yet fulfilled and opportunities that are not yet met and look and help and cannot help but plan ahead, looking for more ways to serve and looking for avenues of opportunity given for God or given by God. That's what Paul is illustrating with his life and what we're going to talk about today. In our life, forward thinking in that way. Are we thinking like that? Believers are. Paul at the end of chapter 15, verse 58, look at it with me. He said, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. The church, you and me, that's us, we're to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're to be abounding in that always is what he's talking about. And then out of the heart of Paul flows all that he's talking about. The work, we decided, consists of basically two things last week as we talked about that. The work is this, consists basically two things. It consists of this, evangelism and edifying. And so Paul is encouraging the church, all that he has said, all that he's taught, that we're to be immovable, abounding in this work. And you know, our toil is not empty. Basically, winning the lost, maturing the saints. We described it last week. I'm just reviewing last week. The work that the church is to be abounding is sharing Christ, growing and living a strong testimony to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and helping others do so. We're to be abounding in that. Jesus said in Matthew 13, he's talking about when he's going to come back, the second coming of Christ. And he's talking about that time. And he says, no one knows when that's going to happen. The disciples don't know. Jesus doesn't know. The angels don't know. The Father knows. But nobody knows. And so in verse 33, he said this. Jesus said, so take heed, be alert, pay attention to what you're doing. Be ready for the return of Christ. And then he said in verse 34, he said, it's like this. He said, this is what it's like. Let me get to it. He said, it's like this. It's like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning them each one his task, also commanding the doorkeeper to say alert. Did you hear what he said? He said, the return of Christ, Christ coming back, is like a man that went away on the journey. Christ came, brought forgiveness of sin, died on the cross that we can be reconciled back to God. It's like him, and he left. He went to be returned to the Father. It's like he went on a journey. He's coming back. And upon leaving his house and putting his slaves, that's me and you, in charge of the work of the Lord here, assigning to each one his task. That's what we're talking about today. Church, me and you have been assigned a task, and the Lord's going to return. And he says, be ready, pay attention. That task to us is the work of the Lord. We will give an account to that man journeying home. All of us will. Each and every one of us. To the Lord on how we did that. 2 Corinthians 5:10, right? We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give an account of what we did with what God has given us the task to do. It's the work of the Lord, very simply, to share Christ, to be growing and living a strong testimony to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be helping others do so. He's left us in charge, his church, the body of Christ, of living that. That's what we're doing. That's what Paul's talking about. Paul's a teacher of that. Paul said the work of the Lord back in 1 Corinthians 15, he says the work of the Lord is labor. It's toil. You're going to toil. He says it puts strain on your body. It puts strain on your mind to live for God, doesn't it? Doesn't it put strain? Isn't it toil? Isn't it hard? We're to be knowing that, understanding it. Yeah, it's strain, it's toil on our mind and body to live for the Lord. And Paul also said, and we are to be knowing, it's not in vain, it's not empty. You could just think of it this way, it matters. It's what matters. I think we want to think about it in that way, it's what matters. For if we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account on how we lived here and what we live for, the task that God has given us to us, if you think about it, you can think of it like this. You can think it's holy living, living a pure life, living a God life that honors God, a living life that tries to please the Lord in all that we do. That's all wrapped up in the sharing Christ and living and growing and living a strong testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all wrapped up in that and helping others do so, helping the body of Christ or the church or your neighbor or the people that you share Christ. It's what we're here to be doing. It's to be abounding in the work of the Lord. And he says, your toil is not in vain. It's not empty. It matters. It's what matters. So be immovable, always abounding in it. And so that's where that set us up in what we were looking in chapter 16, right out of the heart of Paul. Paul really moves into, comes into chapter 16, and he gives us some practical participation in the Lord's work. That's what we're looking at today. It's in your outline. It's the second message there. We have a few more that we're going to go, but it's practical participation in the Lord's work. He lays out here for us how we practically participate in that. We looked at last week. Last week was giving to the Lord's work. Financially giving, that is meeting the needs of the saints. We are to invest in us to accomplish the work. That's what he was talking about. We went all through that last week. the teaching, the training, the ministry, the work, the building up of the body of Christ, or the building up of church, of God's church. We talked about growing in a strong testimony, sharing Christ. We're helping each other do so. We're investing each other do so. That's what we looked at last week, what Paul said was the practical participation in it. So what we're looking at today is the second point that he has. Now, right out of his own life, the life of, and a little bit of Timothy and a little bit of Apollos, Paul says, here's what it looks like. Here, he gives the second practical participation of having a vision for the Lord's work. Look at verse 5 through 12 and listen to God's word and listen to what Paul's saying. He's just illustrating his life. He's talking about what's going on, but you can hear the way he's living his life. And God's word is here to encourage us and to strengthen us and show us. And listen to what he says. You hear him living his life. He says this, "But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I'm going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work as I am also." You see where we're getting what we're talking about. "So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren." Verse 12, "But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren and to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity." You heard what he said. He's talking about having a vision for the work of the ministry. He's talking about his life and him looking forward and him anticipating and looking for God's opportunities and responding to God's opportunities. He's thinking about forward thinking, how he's going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish, the Lord's work. He's not real sure how things might come back. I don't want to just stop by in passing. Look at verse 5 and 6. Listen to what he has to say. He's sharing his vision on accomplishing the Lord's work. "But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I'm going through Macedonia." You see on his heart, God leading his life. "I'm going to come to you after I pass through Macedonia because I'm coming there." Verse 6, "And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I go." Did you hear what he said? "I want to be there. I want to minister there. It's the Lord's work." Paul is thinking about how he's going to show up to the church and do the Lord's work. He wants to stay. He may not stay. He might stay because he's following the Lord. He knows there's the Lord's work. He knows it's out there. He's anticipating it in his heart. He's illustrating what me and you ought to be doing in our life. We do this in our life. We do this with our home. We do this with our car. We do this with our relationships. We do this with our goals in career. We do this with our retirement. We live this way. We're looking forward. He's showing us the practical participation in the Lord's work is looking, where is it? How may God be using me? And that's what I want to emphasize today. We're going to look at that. That's going to be really strong. Like verse 7 through 9, he says it this way, "For I do not wish to see you now just in passing." You know, I want to stay a while if I come by. "For I hope to remain with you for some time if the Lord permits." You know, it's God's direction in it also. I see the opportunity, but it's going to be God to decide if I'm going to be there for a while. But I'm looking forward. Now, I would agree with you that this is the Apostle Paul. He's got a little more focus than we do, right? He's a little more into that in that than most. But every Christian, every one of God's faithful workers, you and me, every one of us, are to be planning and looking ahead with a sense of vision and expectancy. We're to be expecting with a vision of what God may do. If we are here to do the Lord's work, and we are, right? Help me here. If we are here to do the Lord's work, and we are, right? Yes. Then we must have a vision for how we're going to accomplish it. Now and in the future. It matters deeply to God. He says it matters in verse 58. All of the strain to the mind and heart and the life, it all matters. We must see our involvement. We must see what it takes from us to do it. We have to have a vision for what our part is. It's vision, looking ahead. You might say looking forward looking. Now, don't get me wrong. We just serve the Lord in our life each day. It's not like, oh, I'm waiting for the thing where God is going. I'm looking ahead. It's right now going on all the time. We need to be serving the Lord, sharing Christ, seeking to grow in your living, a strong testimony to a saving grace, helping others to do so right where you're at. But I'm looking myself. I'm looking ahead. I have a vision in my heart. And Paul, God wants us to have one on how God may bring an avenue of opportunity our way, change our direction, or focus us elsewhere, or use us to serve. Let me illustrate this to you in a couple of ways so we can just put some practical participation into it. On May 8th, my daughter, Andrea, is graduating from Point Loma. It was the pinning ceremony on Friday, the 8th, graduation on Saturday, the 9th. And so after the Friday of the graduation, or the pinning ceremony, we planned this dinner. We're going to have this dinner. We've got 30 people there, and they're coming. And I knew this a few weeks before we went, and in my heart I was thinking about, you know, Lord, is this an opportunity? There's maybe close to half of the people there don't know Jesus Christ. And they're coming to this event. Now, we are celebratory. We are excited. We're breathing easier. There seems to be pressure off our shoulders that she's finally graduating. You know, all of the normal things of life, right? We're celebrating. We're excited. We're all of those kind of things. But I asked the Lord about what's the Lord's work here. Is this sharing Christ or being a testimony of Christ or encouraging others, helping others to do so? And I asked him about it. And he gave me some words, and he gave me some things to say during the dinner and that kind of thing. And so when that time came, I responded. I was looking forward, asking the Lord what that might be. He didn't work it all out. I'll share something with you in that as we go forward. But I took the opportunity that we each and every one of us have and all the things that we have in life to ask the Lord, is there a work here that you have going on? I'm surprised in my heart how many more there are than I'm recognizing. Let me give you another illustration. Just put this in a church setting. About having vision for the Lord's work. Here at Living Word Fellowship in the spring of 2009, some ladies had a vision to do a VBS program using the material from Answers in Genesis. And they came to me and they shared that with me and we talked about it and some people got involved and others saw that, hey, this would be good, and we got involved and helped, and they put it on, and it was wonderful. And then a couple of years later, they added to the vision. They were seeing a drama and a kind of play at the end and some singing at the beginning that we could get involved in. And then so that drew more of us in to be a part of the play, and some people stepped up and said, well, I'll lead the play, and I'll be involved in that, the drama, and that kind of thing. And so the vision was carrying it forward, and the vision was always to do the Lord's work, was always to share Christ with the kids, to be a testimony to the kids and to all that came, and we want to care about our community, who might bring some children and some of the parents that might come. We want to care about them. It's all about doing the work of the Lord, and it was kind of moving along. It enhanced the ministry for the children, And like I said, more got involved. 2 years ago, they created an opportunity for children to participate in a missions ministry, I guess we would say, and giving to that, supporting it. First year, it was funds, raise some funds to buy some sewing machines and chickens for the people of India. Last year, it was to get some goats for them. And then my part in the work of the Lord and participating in the work of the Lord, I had to kiss the goat. You guys remember that? You never know what God may use you in the work of the Lord, right? You know, and then I got in trouble because I didn't kiss him right on the lips and all that. You know, it was like, oh, come on, you guys. It was okay on the side. And then, you know, and the ladies were like, oh, come on. We thought you'd be good at this and all that, you know. This year, they want to gather and get some water to meet the needs of our community. They have a vision, practical participation in the Lord's work. We're all to be looking ahead into the future. We're all to be looking ahead. How, God, how are you going to use me? How are we going to participate? What's the opportunity? You don't have to have a vision for the whole thing, but you have to look ahead and say, hey, you know, when they ask me, now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't say, oh, well, this is the Lord's work. I'm going to do what you want, you know. But I asked the Lord, is that okay? And let me ask my wife, because there's two people I need to get okay from here. But you never know what it might be. It may be just participating and building the crafts for that, or doing the outside work, you know, the game part, or it might be. See, the Lord is comprehensively incredible in all of that. Turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. I want you to look at verses 13 and 14. As we're just talking about this, this is really good. This is really encouraging. This is Paul bringing edification to the church. And I put some verses in your outline there that you can look up. Goes all with this. I'm going to pick out a couple here. Turn to Galatians 5, 13 through 14. Turn there with me. And I want to make an emphasis here out of God's word, what he's talking about. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. And here Paul writes to these guys, and he says, hey, in verse 13, for you were called to freedom. This weekend, that word ought to really ring true in our heart. God called you to himself. God brought you into a relationship with himself. God saved you, rescued, delivered. You were called into freedom. Freedom, brethren, of what? Freedom. Freedom from you. Freedom from yourself. Freedom from slaves and sin's enslavement. That's what he's talking about. You're called into freedom. Freedom to love and serve Christ, and a freedom that your sin is forgiven. Amen, Craig? That's the freedom that we have in Christ. God's not judging my sin and saying, oh, you're in, you're out. He said, no, you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood of Christ has you in and reconciled. And no, I don't want you to sin, but you've been set free from all of that. And we're free to live for the Lord and serve him and embrace every opportunity, which before I was saved, I had no ability to do. And that's what Paul's talking about. For you were called to freedom, brethren, but don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. You know, that's the battle. That is what it is. It's the opportunity that we have, that we've been set free to make it an opportunity that now we can kind of just focus on ourselves. It's okay, Christ died for me. But use that opportunity. Look at the text. Use that opportunity to serve one another. That is to help each other grow in living a strong testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that means. That's what it looks like to serve and love one another. Let me help you. Let me serve you. Let me come alongside. Let me be all that I can be to help you be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that might be helping you watch your children. That might be helping you with the cow out of the stall or out of the field or whatever it might be. It's loving each other, helping each other live for the Lord. See, we have opportunity all over the place to do the work of the Lord. Do we have a vision for it? Are our minds, thoughts, hearts, are they forward thinking? John Calvin wrote this. I love this, what he said. He wrote, there's no such thing as anything by chance. There's no such thing as chance. He said, just opportunity and God's providences. I absolutely believe that. Because of the sovereign God that we serve, I'm not where I'm at. I don't have the people that I have in my life. I don't go through what I go through in this life or what I might go through in this life by chance. It's by God's providence. It's that in your life too. And what I want to have a vision for is for the opportunities to do the Lord's work by the providence of God as he works in this world. That's what Paul's living. That's what we want to live. One more thing about that VBS program. Very interesting this year what happened. It started last year at the end of last year. The lady that was leading it up, Christy Mabbs, God gave her a forward look at her part in it this year and showed her that she's going to be ministering, serving. She's going to be doing some work of the Lord in some other areas, and she was going to need to step aside. But God was at work in some other ladies' hearts at that time too. And she was talking to them, and Melissa Reed and Megan Heider took up the mantle to lead the VBS program because God was showing them, looking forward, what might be their part as we go forward. That goes on all the time. It's a wonderful, rich thing, but it brings up our next point. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 6. It brings up our next point, flexibility. We have to be flexible. Look at verse 6. Listen to Paul. And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way. Perhaps wherever I go, I'm going to be flexible here because I know, there's some desires in Paul. Paul stayed there a year and a half because God said, hey, I got some work here for you. There's some people that are going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay in Corinth for a year and a half. Well, he was kind of planning on leaving. But here he's saying, I'm going to come by. I'm going to spend some winter with, maybe even the winter. Look at verse 7. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing. Paul's heart, I just don't want to breeze on by, spend a week and go. I want to minister. There's the Lord's works going there. For I hope to remain with you for some time. Listen to the end of verse 7, if the Lord permits. He is just surrendered to what God wants him to do, but he's looking forward. He's got a vision for what God has for him, but he recognizes that God is the one that the hand is over it all, and so God is going to shape that on how that would go forward. You got to be flexible. James 4, 13 through 15, right? Where James writes, hey, if you don't know what your life might be like tomorrow. If the Lord wills, I'll do this and I'll accomplish that. I'll get this done. It's up to the Lord. It's the Lord's will. I don't know what tomorrow brings. Hey, I don't know what tomorrow brings for us. We can plan. We can look forward. We can do a lot of things. But it's if the Lord wills. We've got to be flexible. It's a strong principle in this. Now, listen. Faith is change. And you know what? Who in the room doesn't struggle with change? We struggle with change, don't we? But faith is change. God is at work in your life, changing your relationship with him, growing your relationship with him all the time as you walk with the Lord, as you learn who he is. He's changing your relationship with others. That's not to get to a point and then this, oh, satisfied, this is the way it is, I don't want it to grow anymore. That's not how God works. That's not how he's working in our life. My understanding of God, can you give me an amen here? In yours, mine's growing all the time. How about yours? I mean, that's changing, right? I'm growing in that. I totally assume that I don't know everything about God. And that as God shows me himself, as he works in my life and I get a greater understanding of God, then my life even changes more. Sanctification is happening. That's the word of God. That's changing. My relationships with changing. Krista would praise the Lord that I'm not like I was 10 years ago. And she's hoping I won't stay the way I am now. I waited for that one. I just set myself right up. But, you know, I looked out there and I saw some young couples. And God is at work shaping you and growing you. And who you are now, God is at work bringing this to the more oneness. You understand what the oneness now is, but you don't understand oneness if you haven't been married 15 years. You understand what you understand now, but I'm just going to tell you, there's... As you go into this, you're going to, wow. From the Bible, from the biblical principles of God's word, this is, life is change because faith is change. Let me illustrate that for you a little bit, just about back at Andrew's graduation. It's kind of a funny story that Friday night, 4 o'clock Friday afternoon, we're going to have after the pinning ceremony, we got it set up. We got the tables in the backyard. We got linen. You know, we've already made the food for 30 people. Thursday night starts pouring rain. Friday morning, we get up. It's pouring rain. Backyard's floating. We're like, oh, we're going to do something here. By the grace of God, Krista handled that. By the grace of God. And you know what? We went to the Lazy Dog. Fun place, great place. But see, I had all these things planned in my heart. We're going to dinner. We got this. God, I had this plan. The Lord's work. I want to give, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, give the testimony to the faithfulness of the Lord. And we're eating at the Lazy Dog now. You know, 29 people in a long, big table in a big room. There's probably 200, 250 more people in there. It's one big room. You're not separated. Music's jamming. You know, all the sports games are on. And I say to my daughter, Ashley, hey, Ashley, I wanted to share something. I was going to talk about the Lord's faithfulness. Oh, don't cry here. And Ashley goes, what are you, nuts? We're in the Lazy Dog. You can't do that here. I said, well, I can get him to turn off the music. She goes, so you want everybody to hear you? And I said, well, I'm working through it, right? Right? Flexible. Ashley says, you know, Dad, we're having dessert back at the house after. Well, will everybody come? I don't know if everybody's going to come. You know, so now I'm getting a little ridiculous about it all, not trusting in the Lord. And she goes, well, I'll go around and ask if everybody's coming. And she said, I think everybody's coming. And then so we go back to the house and we're having dessert. Everyone's there. And I ask them to come into the front room. We kind of cram in the front room. We're eating cake. And the Lord puts the things on my heart to share about how proud we are of our daughter and all that God has done and the Lord's faithfulness and his grace. And then Andrew shares I can't even go any farther into it. Because God has a plan on the Lord's work. Because he's in charge of it. I just want to be faithful to the opportunity. Listen to Proverbs 16:9. The mind of a man plans his way, vision. But the Lord directs his steps, providence. I just want to embrace the opportunity, Lord. I'm going to plan, I'm going to look forward, I'm going to go forward. You're going to direct the providence of God. Lord, don't let me miss any of your gracious gifts of opportunity to do your Lord's work, because it matters. It absolutely matters. It matters way more than whether we got to eat that great big dinner we made for 30 people or stuff it in everybody's mouth the next day for lunch. But sometimes we can make the dinner matter. That's why I said, by the grace of God, God prompted on Krista's heart when all that went on, our pattern in our life would have been maybe more to panic. But we knew the Lord was in charge, and we let it go. And God's at work, and we got to be flexible. Listen, we're to be forward-thinking but flexible. You know, there's many points in the outline there, but let's stop there. Let's just stop right there, today's message. It's a good point to be flexible, isn't it? And practice the flexibility we're talking about. We'll finish this next week. And for you that are out there that are thinking with vision, wow, if he does all these points, we're going to be here till about 12:30. We're going to be flexible here, and we're not going to do that, okay? Because I know some of us are very forward-thinking when it gets about 15 minutes before the service is over. I wonder, you know. I know the nature of us all. We all are who we are, and this is how God wants to use us and work in our life. So we're going to stop there, but I have two things I want to close with. Say it this way: to be abounding in the Lord's work is a privilege, is it not? Is it a privilege? Is it an honor, a privilege to do the Lord's work, to an honor that all Christians have? You have the privilege, the honor to be a part of the Lord's work. You get to labor for the Lord. I want you to see it that way. You get to labor for the Lord. I remember my life when I labored for nothing. You get to labor for him, to labor for Jesus Christ, to be an ambassador for Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5 would say. To be an ambassador for him. That should overwhelm each one of us, more than being the president, more than being Faith Hill, a country singer, more than being Kobe Bryant, more than being all that you ever wanted to be. Because what God made you is a laborer for the Lord, a fellow worker. You read it today, Tom. It's an incredible privilege, because God included you in his redemption plan that he started before the world began. And he said, you're a part of it now, and you will be a part of it forever. And today is the opportunity. I just get overwhelmed with that. I wrote down here about this big, incredible. Incredible. I get to live for what matters. Look at this world and run and chasing its tail, forgetting what matters. You have all hope. You have the answer that the world seeks after. You know what matters. I'm so glad the people were faithful to that before I knew the Lord. I want to be faithful to that after I knew the Lord. You and me get to invest in God's divine work and to experience God showing you where he's doing his divine work. That takes my breath away, to actually think about what we actually get to do. Paul couldn't let it go. I don't want to let it go. I want to pray for us that as his people, we would embrace it and not let it go. For those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who've trusted in Christ, who put their faith in Christ, that he's their Lord and Savior, for those that have been saved by the grace of God, your effort matters. That's what God is talking to us about. This whole chapter 16 is an exhortation to us to live a life that matters. That's what it's about. That's the word of God. It's an exhortation to the church to live because your life matters. Because of Jesus Christ, and that's the only reason your life matters. For those that haven't trusted in Christ, haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that haven't turned to Him, surrendered their life to Him, I want to share something with you out of John 7. I want you to listen to Jesus' words and what He's talking about here. And it's pretty upfront. It's pretty practical. It's pretty clear in John 7, verse 1 through 6. Let me read it to you. I want to share this with those that haven't really surrendered their life to Christ, that haven't said He's Lord and Savior and trusted in Him. Here's the story out of John 7. It says, after these things, Jesus was walking into Galilee. For He was unwilling to walk in Judah because the Jews were seeking to kill Him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of Booths, was near. Therefore His brothers said to Him, these are the half-brothers of Jesus. These are His blood brothers. Joseph, their father, Mary, their mother. And it says, therefore His brothers said to Him, leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples also may see your works and which you are doing, for no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourselves to the world. They said, Jesus, go there. Go to the Feast of Booths. Go there. Show yourselves. Do all that you do. Display all that you would do. But listen to their heart. It wasn't so the truth of Christ or the work of Christ would go out, or for the testimony of Christ or the grace of Christ. It was so His brothers would get recognized. Oh, do you see my brother? He's a miracle worker. Because listen to what verse 5 says, and it shows you their heart and what they're telling Him, why Jesus needs to go to the feast. Verse 5, for not even His brothers were believing, trusting, putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were telling them to go for their own recognition, not for their faith in Christ, to be trusting in Christ. It wasn't about the truth of Christ. It was about what they wanted. He says His brothers were not believing in Him. They hung around Him but didn't know Him. Listen to verse 6. So Jesus said to them, my time is not yet here. Jesus says, I'm not going up there right now because it's not my time. God's sovereign in my life. God's providence works in my life. I'm looking forward to the future on the opportunities where I'm going to go do the Lord's work. And I'm going to go when God says I'm going to go. And right now, it's not my time. God has said I'm not supposed to go to that yet. So I'm living in the providence, in the guiding, the leading of God, to do the Lord's work in the Lord's timing. So I'm not going to go yet. Listen to the rest of verse 6. Saying to His brothers, but your time is always opportune. That word in the original language means random. He said, go when you want to go, come when you want to come, don't go, don't care. You know what? Your life's random. It means this basically truth in the Bible. It doesn't matter what you do, because God's not in what you're doing. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in Him and come to saving faith, surrender your life to Him, all your works don't matter. They don't do a thing. All your attendance at church, all your giving to the things, all of your goodness, all your kindness, all of those things are random. That doesn't matter because God's not in what you're doing. If you're an unbeliever, He says do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. Now, why do I say that so strong today? Because what matters is your salvation. Because what matters is us sharing the truth of Christ. What matters is us living a strong testimony of Christ. Not about how many people come to church. We're not trying to build anything here. We're trying to live for the Lord and share Christ. And it isn't about attendance. It isn't about how many are here. It isn't about any of that. It's about your salvation. And that's what matters. And that's why we say it that way. That's why I use those strong words. God wants you, not your stuff. He wants to save you. He doesn't want your stuff. He wants to be in relationship with you, to bring you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then everything you do matters from the salvation of Christ. That's the important thing. And I know we don't hear that all the time. I know it doesn't get presented a lot of times because people are worried about what people think of them. Here at Living Word Fellowship, we're concerned for your salvation in the Lord. We're concerned for your relationship with Christ. That's the most important thing. That's what matters. And then each one of us get to participate in the Lord's work, looking ahead with eyes of God and the vision in our heart to what we're going to participate in as we grow in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the words sound high, but they're the words of God, and it's what we're striving to, what we're toiling to, what we're working toward. Nobody in the room is living anywhere close to perfection there, but we're living for what God says matters. Let's close in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we come before you with the heart of gratitude, as always, Lord, for the transforming work of Christ in salvation, first and foremost, reconciled us back to you, being forgiven, and then you brought us into the people of God, the family of God. Lord, then everything in our life is your desire is to use for the purpose that you have us here for. To share the Lord, to be a testimony of Christ. Yes, Lord, you bless our life beyond measure. Yes, Lord, the blessings of you, the goodness, the grace of God upon our life. It's too long to list. All of those things, Lord, are true. All of those things that await us in the reality of our resurrection are true. All of those things that the love of God can never be separated from us are true. That our sin are forgiven, even when we stumble in sin. God's not judging us according to how good we are or how bad we are. He's evaluating. He will be as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ on how much we embrace the task that you left us here to do. We'll all here that have believed in the Lord enter in because of faith in Christ. So we thank you with grateful hearts, thankful hearts. And we come before you and pray. Lord, help us to have a forward looking in your work. To ask you, Lord, where may you have me and be involved in something? To seek you and say, Lord, what's my part? What are you doing in my life to make me a part, to participate in your work? We trust in you, Lord, to work all of that out. Our faith is in you and this Holy Spirit that dwells in us and your word to teach and train us in all of this. Thankful, Lord, it's a journey, each one of us on the path, if we've believed in Christ, journeying with you. It's not really how far up or down you're on the path. It's just moving along the path, and our desire, our heart, is to walk with you. We thank you for the men and women that they saw in their heart that they wanted to defend our nation to keep its freedom. It's a great principle, Lord. Greater love than no one than this, that he lays down life for his friend. Help us to be the kind of people that lay our lives down for others in our life because of what you've done. It's a privilege and an honor to live for you, Lord. We just give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. We're dismissed for today.